Yes, I've got a new router. Meraki router came this week.
Oh.
Yeah, very happy. It's a switch. It's not a router, is it? But, you know, I just thought I'd say router anyway. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all things Apple, as usual. Sorry we missed the big show last night, but we had a guest crumbling. So we didn't do the big show last night. But we're back next week. Don't worry, it'll be fine. I've organised. I've got guests. I'm not on a course, and it'll be all brilliant. I've got a sore throat, so we're not going to go on for too long today. Joining me to discuss the week in Apple, all the shiz that's gone on, starting us up, top left, mate, British Mac, Will Green, extradition proceedings come to fruition on Sunday, don't they?
Yeah, they certainly do. But what I'd like to do at the start of your show,
okay,
is do a bit of a costume change, if that's all right.
You look like you were in a...
As long as there's not a wardrobe malfunction, I'm probably
no,
okay.
It's all good.
It won't be the first time Will's got his tits out, but go on.
Okay, so number one. Actually, I've got the coat on because it's pretty blooming cold. But this is costume number one.
You took the fez out with you?
Yeah, too, right?
You took the fez with you to France?
No.
You can't go anywhere without a fez. Look at that.
Okay, that's cool.
That's costume number one.
Actually, with that on, with the SA, with the beard, you look more like you were in the SAS than last week.
There is a bit of SAS going on, though. Actually, I mean, I bought the fez while I was over here, but this is costume number two. Now, this, you might have to blank this because it's a bit sexy.
Oh, okay.
I can't get it down my big fat head, can I?
For those who are listening on audio podcasts, they're missing a treat, aren't they?
They really are, aren't they?
This is an advert for video podcasting, this is.
Oh, I can't get these on. Oh, well. It is.
It's a set of, what are we calling, ball gloves. They're for holding your testicles and keeping them warm, aren't they?
I think they probably are. The final one of my costume.
The most scary.
Oh, dear, dear.
There it is.
You always knew it. You always knew I was part of it.
It's the anonymous mask.
Here I am.
I thought that was Guy Fawkes.
Well, for the lack of guests, I thought I'd make up at least a few costumes.
is that your motto there? V for very lateral.
yeah. So we do not. Hold on. Let me put it back. We do not forgive. We are anonymous. That's about all I can remember. Also, we can't be bothered is probably the one I append to that sentence.
Okay, fair enough. Great to have you here, Will. Now, you are returning to Blighty, are you not, on Sunday?
Yes, I am. Yes, I'll be back. Amongst you all, the great British Unwashed, and I'm looking forward to it very much.
The plebs that I know are looking forward to it, mate. I can promise you that.
Okay. That's lovely.
It's excellent. Good to have you back, pal. Next to him, it's Adam.
Hey. I agree. It's cold. It's all of 14. The low is 14 here. I'm dying.
Really? 14 degrees?
I had to put pants on.
You bastard, that's what it is in my... Well, it's not even that, it's 12 in my office at the moment. To say it's been cold is an understatement. Absolute understatement.
Yeah, poor we're plastics. Spoiled. I mean, I do. It's you acclimate to whatever environment you live in, and it gets 50 degrees Fahrenheit here, and I'm putting on a thick coat, and I'm freezing.
I had...
Such a wimp.
So typical fridge... What's typical fridge in America in Fahrenheit?
I'd have to go check, like 40, 30, 38, 36.
38. Okay. So yeah. So, I looked at my phone, cause I haven't been here all week. I've been on a course. I looked at my phone on Wednesday and it was 5 degrees in this office.
Wait, what do you mean by fridge?
Refrigerator.
Like what's the temperature inside my refrigerator?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe around 38. 30, okay, somewhere so my office, between 36 and 40.
My office was 38°/5°C. So, there you go.
It was that's cold. Here.
Well, I wasn't here, so I didn't care. But
I'm good otherwise. I'm still kicking this cold that's just been lasting for forever. But
yeah, God. I've picked a Bellis's throat this week, and everyone on the course I've been on swears blind I've given that as well. I am their route to the sick bed this next week. So there we go. And last but by no means least, and although this is a circuitous route to get to him, it is definitely the preferred route because based on happenings of the last 10 days, we definitely have to have James Ricards as last because he's going to say hello, and it might be quite brief, and then he's going to go into his new MacBook Pro. James, how the devil are you?
No, he threw that out. He bought an HP.
I tell you what, I must be the unluckiest bloke in the world. yes, well, good afternoon, wherever you are. It's 3 degrees here. It's freezing. It's just, you know, and I was bragging about how great it was in the south of France. Yeah. It does get actually very cold. Anyway, yeah, this bloody thing. shall I hold it up? Once again, I'm having to resort to my wife's MacBook Air. I was happily using my lovely MacBook Pro after being away.
Hang on. Last week's show, you didn't have it back, did you?
I didn't, no. So it came back, and I'll be honest with you, it was lovely. It was all shiny, and they'd done a good job. It felt like a new device again. And I was watching TV on it. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning.
It was legal TV. So it's not an illegal shutdown thing. It was legal TV.
It was legal TV, I promise you. And and quite literally, the touch bar faded out. Why is that faded there, out? That was a bit weird. And then the keyboard light faded out. And then, so I started madly tapping things to wake the keyboard up. And then suddenly the screen display went off. So I kind of looked at my wife and she looked at me and went, oh no. And I went, no. So I quickly grabbed the charger and plugged it in thinking, well, maybe the battery's just gone. And no power. So then I got out of bed, went to the other part of the bedroom where there's another power socket, plugged it in there, waited a few moments, nothing. So then had a restless night in bed, left it on charge overnight, 7 hours later.
Did you say the word bastard a lot during that night's sleep?
My wife just looked at me and went, you're not going to sleep now, are you? And I went, no, I'm not going to sleep. So bastard. I waited till about 8:30 our time and then onto AppleCare. What can I say, folks? It's just a joke, isn't it? I think someone's playing a game. They replaced the whole top case, which obviously is the battery part as well as the keyboard and trackpad. So
maybe they took the battery out of the old one.
I'm trying to love it. Just trying to love it, and it keeps spitting me back in the face.
Is this not in the case of some engineer forgetting to properly attach something and just a cable or something came disconnected? I mean, that's what it feels like, right? Some idiot didn't do what he was supposed to do.
I mean, it has worked for 6 days. So in that 6 days, because I've been without it for 15 days, I created an advert, which obviously involved me using Final Cut, doing some audio, did a bit of voiceover. So I created an advert, pushed that out. I'd done some social media work for some friends, even just had a muck about with some 3D stuff I was working on. So it's been pushed a little bit, obviously done some updates and things. But I think the root of the problem is, it's just a shit machine that I have. And luckily for me, the guy on the chat room was very good. He just arranged the call to their second tier, I think they call it, the second tier. I've got a guy's name now in AppleCare. Basically, if I want to get it swapped out, it's got to be seen again by a certified engineer. So not going to be back to the UK till the 10th.
If this story doesn't end with, and they just ship a new one out to me, that's BS.
I mean, yes. Seriously, yeah. It's got to go to see an engineer, which basically means that because I'm in the south of France, I either send it off, which unfortunately by the time they get it and have a look, I won't be here in France. I'll be back in the UK for a short while. And I'm moving around in the UK when I return as well, so I'm not making it great for myself. So all credit to the guy.
Burned and blown up is what needs to happen to it, and no one ever needs to see it again.
Yeah, yeah. It's a comedy of errors, I think. But anyway, no. So I'm booked in at Exeter on the 11th. What was it, the 12th? the 12th of December. And I'm going to be seeing a Genius Bar person then.
But you're without a machine until the 12th?
I am indeed. That's it. Yeah, I'm without a Mac. So I've been without one 15. I think in total, this will be...
an entire month.
40, yeah, it'd be 40 days.
Isn't
it a
15-day return policy? You should just buy a new one and take it back right before you leave.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that is something. Although I think he said he's not promised
you
me.
You've earned the right. You know, normally I wouldn't say that to people because I think, you know, I know people have done that, sort of leased a machine from Apple for free for a trade show or something like that. And I don't think that's too cool. But, I mean, you've earned the right. If they're not going to give you a replacement machine, you know, you have every right to buy one, use it, and just take it back.
You know, you've got the ultimate phrase though, James. When you walk into the Genius Bar and he goes, "Okay, so what seems to be the problem?" You can go, "Right, I've had this computer. I've been without this computer for so long." And he's going, "How long?" You go, "Will Green published two podcasts in the period I've been without this machine."
Oh, that's a bit harsh.
And he'll go, "Instant that change." Long? That'll be what swings it. That'll be what swings it.
Oh, I tell you. I mean, he's. I don't know. Will Green's not told you this, but he's even published a video podcast.
Wow.
I mean, we're talking two audio and one video. That's practically a dog's lifetime, isn't it?
I'm gonna turn off now. No, the video podcast is great.
Now available on Patreon.
Three years now. But it's only available to Patreon users. So, what is it, Jim?
If it's your first one, that might be a bit of a retrograde step. You want to see the first one so that they then go, "Oh, I must subscribe to Patreon because I want to see the next one."
Well, I don't know. I've done it anyway, and it's up there: patreon.com/BritishMac.
And I've got to say the drone came into play on this, so we had a bit of fun, didn't we, Will?
Yeah, we certainly did. It was a really fun podcast. it's a bit out there, but it's a bag of fun. Well, Ewan, don't finish off the phrase "bag of." remember, bag of fun. But I was quite pleased with it. I really was.
How long have you been without your machine? Will Green published two podcasts and got into video podcasting since I lost my machine.
That is a long time. I mean, I'll be honest with you, just to finish off on this story, I should be able to get the new MacBook. Because obviously this is a 2016 Touch Bar. So is it Cable Lake is the new one, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'll be getting a... Once it's confirmed broken, which we know it is, once it's confirmed broken, I should be getting that Cable Lake one. And I think they're going to give me the 4.1 gigahertz beast, which also has a new graphics card as well. So I will be up a brand new 2017 computer. But to be honest with you, if you Google sticky keys for MacBook Pro 2016-2017, there is probably 45 YouTube videos that I've found showing you how to fix it. So that's 45 people that have been bothered to make a video about sticky keys. So I'm not overly confident that the Mac I will be getting will be much better than the one I've got.
It'll be fine.
Well, you need to do the prep in the meantime of setting up a complete clean room that you can operate it in, so a tiny speck of dust does not work its way under that key. That's God the key. Us. So that's the problem is you live in a dirty environment. So it's really your fault.
It's out of France.
It is all mine.
How do people in Arizona cope? Because, I mean, it's just like dust gets frigging everywhere there.
That's my point. It's like Apple designed a keyboard that can't handle a breadcrumb getting under the key. Like...
Well, true.
And so it is. You know, I'm fully expecting Tim Cook to come out and pull a hole. You're holding it wrong. Well, you eat in front of your computer. That's just, you people are animals. You need to stop doing that.
He's gonna go for the LHC, isn't he? He's going to go for the Large Hadron Collider excuse. Well, you clearly must have had baguette stuck in there. Dropped in by a pigeon.
They're quite brittle as a baguette. But there you go. So
we had a bit of feedback in the last week from Bob Beechhill. Thank you very much, Bob, in the Slack room. He posted a graph, because what is it with all of these people attacking the French and Germans? Because apparently their productivity is way greater than ours. They produce $60 per capita for the workforce, whereas we only produce $48 per capita for the workforce, which is a very accurate and very correct statement, Bob. Thank you very much. However, it's just not as entertaining as taking the piss out of the French and Germans constantly. So we're going to carry on, however untruthful it is, I'm afraid. We haven't had any reviews in bloody ages. So if you want to leave us a review, stick us a review in iTunes, make sure it's worth reading out and it pokes fun at someone, and we'll read it out and have some fun with it, because we've had no reviews on any of the shows for ages. So get in there, please. Please, please, please. That'd be great. Right. Right. The news in Apple for the week. Do you want to take the scenic routes, or do you want to take the direct routes?
I always prefer the scenic route.
You want to go for the scenic route to the main story?
That's rather nice.
Okay. So we'll take the scenic route to the main story, which is Apple is reportedly planning, wait for it, affordable 9.7-inch iPad. And it's interesting because Apple is considering, and the word considering is actually put in quotes, which either they don't understand English over Mac rumors, and that should be inverted commas, or Apple actually said it, which I don't think they did. So in March 2017, Apple released its most affordable iPad at $329, and they're going to release a new one, allegedly in 2018, at $259.
I'd be really interested in that. I've been to City with Will down the road, and there's a little Apple store down there.
What route did you take?
Oh God, the M10 straight down there.
Was the route you followed on your Apple did you follow the route on the TomTom, or did you follow the route on your iPhone?
On my iPhone with Google Maps, which is horrendous. Sorry, Apple Maps, which is horrendous.
But you didn't end up in a lake, so it sent you the correct route then.
No. Well, they had some funny root vegetables going on. Soup, you know. But that's the French for you. Funny root vegetable soup.
Fair just enough, a bit mate.
Mate,
we just stop. If you're going to drop the word root in, it's got to be in context, man. You can't just throw root vegetables in for no good reason.
Well,
I'll edit that bit out, though, don't worry.
Okay.
Carry on. Where were you?
So I was at the Apple Store about an hour ago, and I picked up the little iPad Pro, and it is such a great form factor. I think I've got a iPad Air 2, and it does feel like a big iPhone. It's a big device, but when you pick up that slightly smaller one, it does seem to fit really nice in your hand. You know, it seems like a manageable size. So definitely, I think anybody who's got a previous generation iPad may consider that as their next purchase for sure.
Would you really want anything at this point, though, without Apple Pencil support, right? Because I'm assuming the low-cost one is your entry level, so it's going to be base spec'd, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's a nice entry-level option, and that's a great price point. I mean, it'll certainly help Apple with sales numbers. So if for no other reason other than to keep kind of investors happy at seeing unit sales of iPads. I don't know how much, you know, margin they're making on that. I'm assuming they'll still make a pretty good margin on it too. So it seems like it's a profit play, and also a play to kind of keep iPad sales looking relevant when they report them in the like, what's that, the second fiscal quarter, first fiscal quarter of 2018.
Well, Apple reported sales are down, aren't they? They're down from 10.2 to 8.9 million, which is a great
They've been declining for forever. Yeah. I mean, they saw a small bump with the release of the Pros. I forget which quarter that was. But, yeah, I mean, they want to keep them going, and this certainly would appeal to a lot of people. Like you're saying, like James is saying, you know, there's a lot of people that have an iPad Air 2 or, you know, some sort of older iPad that just haven't upgraded, and this would be enough incentive, I think, for the more casual users to jump in and, hey, yeah, I'll grab a new model.
I don't like iPads.
You don't like iPads, Will?
Oh, I love my iPad.
Why not? Why not? No. Why don't you like them?
They're boring. They're really, really boring. If I've got my iPhone, great. I can take it with me and do this, that, and the other. But if I'm out and about, I'll take my MacBook Air and do my work on that. I cannot see the point of the iPad. And believe me, I've had quite a few of them. I've had three or four, I think, over the years. And I just find it boring. I look at it and I think, you're boring. In fact, I often talk to it and say, you're boring.
There's definitely...
It's getting a complex. iPad's going to have a complex, isn't it, poor thing?
none of his iPads have actually... There's nothing, not been a problem. It's just they're broken down because it's like, I can't cope with Will's insults anymore.
Well, I've had to get started talking to Jim's iPad. He leaves it on
What? You can't break your mate's iPad.
He leaves it downstairs, and I walk down in the morning... and I say, iPad, you're boring. You bore me. You're ugly. You're horrible. I have no use for you. I've got my Mac and I've got my iPhone. So what is the point of this horrible, boring device? I'll leave it.
I think we've got to remember that the Mac Mini, sorry, the iPad Mini, hasn't been updated for quite some time now. And maybe having this 9.7 as a replacement for the iPad Mini may be the next step for that device.
Well, the Mini was just, was it not discontinued? I just assumed it was discontinued. Can you still buy one?
I don't know. That's a good question.
It's a good question. I don't know. Let's get that.
I thought the iPad Mini 4 was kind of like the last one. I think it's just done.
Yeah. I think
I want to say I'd have to check Mac Tracker. I should know this off the top of my head. But
yeah, we should know this.
I think it's a use case, though, isn't it? Well, I mean, that's the thing. I love my iPad Pro because I like using the pencil. I love watching a movie on it when I go down south. The charger's easy to carry and really powerful. I can recharge it on the train and get a good charge out for the whole day. I can watch Sky Sports on it if I really want to. And I can make notes in a meeting using the pencil or using the keyboard. And that's it. That's all I expect of my iPad. Lee Peterson, who used to come on the show a lot, he went from a MacBook Pro and said, right, that's it. I'm just using iPad for a while. And he survived for the last 9 months on iPad only.
Well, exactly. I think the word you survived says...
okay. I didn't mean barely survived.
It is what it is. It's okay for watching a movie or a TV program or for very basic work. But as far as a business device is concerned, I don't see it has sort of any value, really.
Yeah, I mean, so Adam.
What business are we talking about, though? Because I know entire companies that run sales teams and things with iPads. Now, I mean, if you're talking office documents and email, it's they're great at that. If you want to use them for that, you totally can get away with it. I use mine constantly for almost all of my show notes. I do all of my research and I use Omni Outliner on there to take all my notes for my show. They're all prepped on there. And then I use Omni has their own sync service, Omnipresence. And it just syncs right back to my Mac, and then I can pick up there when I'm ready to do the show.
But don't you find it a pain in the ass? If you're on the train or something like that, and you've got your your iPad of whatever description, wouldn't you prefer to have a Mac with you with a keyboard and
I have a smart keyboard cover on my iPad Pro. And it's much lighter and more portable than my MacBook Pro. It's less bulky. But it's great.
So, Adam, would you do customer fee-paying work on an iPad?
I can't because a lot of my customer fee-paying work is... But it's coding, and that's just because I can't set up a development environment. And actually, I probably could. I mean, most stuff is server-based, and I could run everything off of, like, an Amazon S3 instance or something like that. It just changes my workflow. So I would have to redo it, but I mean, the apps exist. There's some great, PHP development apps. There's great, Git repository apps.
That's a provisional yes. iPad. That's a provisional yes.
What?
That's a provisional yes. Yes, you could.
Yeah, it could be done. Like if I was starting out today and didn't have an established workflow already, I might consider it. Like if I was just getting into it and I wanted to do everything on an iPad from a programming perspective, yeah, it could be done. It's just I'm used to having a local environment set up that I can work in, but I could just as easily do that in the cloud these days, and especially with the cellular data plans that I have. You know, because like people would be, well, what about then you always need access to... but I have mobile hotspot with my T-Mobile, and it's unlimited, and it's fast. And as a matter of fact, to that point, all day yesterday, and I hadn't realized I had done this, my internet, it was okay, but every once in a while, it was kind of blipping out, especially when I would, like, try to watch a video. It was a little stuttered. What I had done is I had turned on my cellular data, and I didn't realize on my Mac that it was set up to prioritize to the USB modem. So it was actually using my phone all day yesterday, and I barely noticed that I wasn't on my home Wi-Fi. And finally, I was trying to watch a video, and it stalled out. And I'm like, "What is going on?" And when I went to speed test, it's like, "You're on T-Mobile network." I'm like, "No, I'm not." Wow.
Oh dear. How much data allowance have you got left?
A ton. Right. I think I get 32 gigabytes a month, is what they give me.
Right.
So.
But pulling it back, I would disagree with you. The provisional yes, I would say, is a no, because you don't use it for work. You just use it on the train.
I use it for podcast work. I just don't use it for programming work.
Yeah.
It's two different things.
It's just sort of surfing the net and putting a few show notes together.
No.
I produced an entire podcast on my iPad when I was on vacation. No problem.
But do you do that? You know, okay, so you come home. Do you choose your iPad over your Mac? Which one do you go for?
I use my Mac, but again, that's only because those are the workflows that I've built over time. If I was starting from scratch today and wanted to, I would probably choose an iPad very seriously. I'm not joking.
There you go.
But you don't, though, do you? That's the key.
No, because I'm an old guy
with an established workflow, and like it would take me a couple months to kind of rejigger everything, and I just don't have time for that. I've got to put out podcasts.
Yeah,
you know, I have a schedule. Oh,
schedule. Yeah,
that may confuse you, but
God.
I've got a friend who actually sold his MacBook Pro 13-inch. He's had it for 3 or 4 years, and he's now using a 12-inch iPad Pro with a pencil, and he is loving it. He's not looked back, and he's he does work for Apple, so he has to produce sort of keynotes and slides and whatnot, and he's just taken to it. I think the thing is when you have two, when you have the choice between your MacBook Air, like you've got it in front of you, and you've got your iPad, for us guys who are been using Mac for a while, we probably will gravitate towards the MacBook Air because of the keyboard and the way it just is. Like Adam says, we have a workflow and we're kind of ingrained into it. Now, if you take away that laptop, I'll tell you what, you pretty quickly realize how you could get on with an iPad Pro for sure, especially with a pencil. I think it would sort of make your workflow. You'd find a way around all of these things. I think because we have a choice, and we're lucky enough to have a choice of having both devices. It's why, I mean, like Will says, my iPad Air 2 is downstairs, and very often not, it's not actually charged, because normally I have a working 15-inch MacBook Pro, so I don't tend to rely on it as much as I would do. But certainly without a laptop around, you're gonna use your iPad, of course you are. And just to let you know, the iPad Mini 4 is still for sale, £419.
It is a massive price. That is awful as a price.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah. It's priced more than the 9.7, I think, base model, right?
It's still there, though, so somebody's obviously buying them. Or is it like the Mac Mini, it just hangs around?
I think it's kind of like the Mac Mini, it just hangs around. I mean, the Mac Mini is a great machine, too. Like, there is a small market for people that want this size of device. But I was going to add to the... to the conversation, another area of work where I always prefer my iPad is if I'm going to a conference now, a tech conference or something, I will most of the time only take the iPad. and my Apple Pencil, and I just take notes for sessions and do everything on that, because it's just, again, much more portable. If I want to sit in a chair and there's not a desk, I can just, you know, put it in portrait mode, open up a notes app with the pencil, and take all my notes that way. It's much more convenient.
See, I think there's restrictions with iPads. I do understand Will's point.
Yeah, I get his point.
But
sure.
I think the restrictions are lesser in a lot of cases. So for me, editing photos, the majority of edits that I make on images, I could do easily on an iPad. There's no question of that. My problem is going to be the transfer of the file into the user interface and then out again, because the volume of a raw file is just so massive. That getting in and out of the Photoshop instance would be right. too great and too difficult. So and then you can't carry an external drive around to use with your iPad, because then it defeats the entire object. So yes, I get there's a restriction on that process. But in terms of using it for work, I'm sorry, but I do use it for work. I would rather have that than a pencil and paper. And I would rather have that than a laptop, because I've found that if I have a laptop and I take notes in minutes, notes in meetings rather, people ignore me. Whereas if I pull my laptop out and my iPad out and write down and I sit and write handwritten notes, they're kind of like, wow, that's impressive. And that they engage with me because they can see I'm not cruising the net and just pissing around.
Interesting.
Right. The irony being that you could be, but just because you have the pencil in your hand, they assume you're not.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's true. I'm still on porn sites. But they just think I'm engaged. I am, and just not with them.
Right. No.
Even better.
Yeah. I do really think this is about a sort of workflow. It's more about workflows and what workflows work where. And I think from a production standpoint, there are more and more workflows that if you're willing to get into them, do work for certain things on an iPad. I know photographers who are gravitating toward it. At least for starting in the field, you know, sometimes it's a combo. Sometimes it's this is the thing I'm going to use when I'm out and about and I'm going to start something here. I'll give you a great example. I have a lot of professional artists that I know that will use like the Apple Pencil and Procreate to start a project, start sketching out, doing base sketches and layering things up, and they'll get pretty close to a finished product. Yeah. And then when they get back home in front of their Mac, they sync that over and they do a little finishing touches, and then they send it out. But you know, they'll do the first 80% all with the iPad and finish it off. And there are professional artists that go all the way too. I mean, you can go all the way if that's your workflow. And again, they tend to be, I think, younger people who haven't grown up with a Mac. I mean, my kids prefer their iPhones, which just baffles me. I mean, they'll do full keynote presentations for school on their iPhone.
Yeah.
It's nuts. But they don't even bat an eye. It doesn't bother them at all. They think it's great.
Well, Paul Kirkle, who's come on here quite a lot, Paul's been a good friend of the network for a long time. And I went to a demonstration that he did. And he, one of the things that's nice about the iPad, and he was only using the old iPad, with a capacitive touch stylus, not even the pencil, and he did it because it's vector graphics. It's superb for him because he draws and then whoosh, he's out bigger, and he draws again and whoosh, he's out bigger again. And then no matter how much he zooms back in to do detail, it's all vector based. So you know, he can go to any size he likes with the finished output and utilize it. So you know, it's an illustrator-ish level of detail, which you never get with an analog medium for a start, and you don't get particularly well with other interfaces. Even like Photoshop doesn't do vector in the same way.
Yeah.
So
I think it's much more natural for art, right? Because you know, the old way, the original way of doing art with pencil and paper or whatever paintbrush and tools, you were touching the surface of what you were working with. And then when we moved to digital with a mouse, it was kind of, you moved away with that, and then you had, you know, funky things like a Wacom tablet to try and re-simulate and bring back that experience. And now with the iPad, you're back to that experience, right? You're interacting with the thing that you're creating directly rather than through some other plane of existence or you know, some other way. I mean, drawing with a mouse was always terrible.
Christ, yeah.
Yeah.
Drawing with a trackpad's terrible.
Yeah.
My trackpad's non-existent. I wouldn't even drill. I hate using a trackpad full stop.
So, you know, again, I think it's workflows, and I think it's willingness to develop a workflow that works for the device. And if that's the device you prefer, you certainly can build a workflow around it. So, and the great thing is like both choices are great. You know, I'm not going to berate one versus the other. I think they're both valid choices for whoever wants to use them.
So you think when I see Jim's iPad in the morning, I should lighten up a bit?
Well, you should be nicer to it anyway, mate, because it can't help what it is, can it?
No, I suppose not. You know, so I should sort of pull back on the "you bastard, you're worthless, you're a blot on this earth."
You can just see, right? So James gets down in the morning, he sets his phone down next to his iPad, and the iPad goes to the phone. "How are you?" And he goes, "I'm all right, mate. How are you?" He goes, "Well, not so good. Will came down this morning, gave me a right load of shit again, as normal."
Yeah, as normal. You know, every morning he does it.
It goes, "It's hardly worth turning on in the morning."
And then the iPhone goes, well, he's all right with me. I can only speak as a fine. So, you know, Will's a good guy. You know what you're on about?
Yeah, I know.
It must be you.
Like Marvin from Hitchhiker's Guide.
And then the iPhone, he's getting on at the iPad.
Well, no, the iPhone is used all the time, non-stop.
Mate,
whereas the iPad,
you're going to come down one morning and that iPad is going to be hanging from a headphone cord and you're going to feel so guilty.
You ask Jim, how often does the iPad get charged?
No, just comments. Left off the table. Well, and
so
the,
we
like,
are talking possibly
on the
floor, most...
glass cracked and lithium ion battery dripping out the bottom.
We are talking the most unloved iPad in the world here, aren't we?
Did you notice the silence?
You
then?
Bastards.
The silence.
You bastards.
Yeah.
James?
I've got no defense. It's not my preferred method of... I use my iPhone for everything. My iPad was just a second. I don't know, I had a bit of money hanging around, buy an iPad, see what's going on. And the thing for that is, and I'll be honest with you, the thing about the iPad is there's certain applications that obviously are iPad only. And it just annoys when you would go to the App Store and you click on it and it says, "This is only available for iPad." And you're thinking, "I'd quite like to give that a go."
If only I had an iPad. Oh, wait.
Sorry.
And you wonder why your Apple tech goes, "You know what? I'm not going to even bother. I'm not even going to start up now."
Yeah, so James's iPad would go, "Well, I don't want to install that app. I mean, what's the point?" Really?
I would actually look into the fact.
I'd just run it like shit.
No, you see, now your MacBook Pro's been running fine up until Will came out. So obviously Will's been walking past going, You're shit, you are. That MacBook Pro has had a mental breakdown because Will's gone past it every day telling it how worthless it is.
I'm just thinking, not
the MacBook Pro. No, only the iPad.
I'm just thinking on Sunday, that little iPad's going to be waving at the window going, "Bye, Will. Good riddance. Hope your airplane crashes."
So put it in his hand luggage and it'll burst into flames. The LiPo battery will go.
Yeah. Right, come on. Let's move us along, shall we? Poor bugger.
I can see this being a future episode of Air Crash Investigation on Discovery. Or History or whatever it is. Apple are going to allow owners to participate in an Apple heart study to find out if you have an irregular heartbeat.
As long as you have a Series 1 or better.
Yeah, that's all right. I've got a Series 1. I can do that. So because the thing is, have you got to have Research Kit installed? Or does it something?
No, I think that's just something they use to build the apps.
Right.
I think that's just, so that's developer side.
So you just go to the Watch App Store and download Apple Heart Study App, and that's it, you're in.
Well, I think you have to opt in and agree share your data with them and all that stuff. But yeah.
There's a class action waiting around the corner for this, isn't there? Apple took my heart data without me knowing.
I think there's probably several screens of sign your life away here. I'm sure, that so, no one will read.
Right, I'm going to sign up for this. Apple Heart app.
Well, as you know, somebody who's had a heart attack this year and survived it.
Good man.
Anything that that helps people detect it sooner and all that sort of business. I mean, I've got the Nike edition Apple Watch, which is obviously Series 2, I think. You know, I love it. I do love it. I'd be honest with you, I don't wear my watch every day. I really don't because of my heart issues, I guess. I think I will tend to be looking at it far too much. You get a bit obsessed with your own heart rate, especially when you have had a heart attack. So I tend to try not to wear my watch all the time because I do find myself just checking every 5 minutes.
Well, now it would alert you, though, right? I mean, with the new OS, doesn't it have it has the feature where if it detects an irregularity, it would only alert you then, so you wouldn't really have to check it all the time.
Yeah, but I've got a complication in the front because I'm a bit of a sado. I've got the
turn that off.
What's the one I use? Cardiogram. The Cardiogram right, yeah. is great. It's probably one of the best apps for the Apple Watch and indeed the iPhone when it comes to heart rate. And it's brilliant and it's free. So what can you say? Big up to the guys of Cardiogram because what a brilliant app. It kept me at, when I got out of hospital, it was one of those apps which made me feel very much at ease lying in my own bed.
You know what's gotten me to wear my Apple Watch every day, really, honestly, is the Unlock Your Mac feature. Like, I hate it when I forgot my watch and I walk up to my Mac and it's like, I got a key and a password.
Don't even use it. The reason that James wouldn't use it is because it's not in the UK store. So I've gone and looked at it, I've placed a link, and it doesn't take you to the UK store to show that you can use it. So it's not happening. Sorry, UK.
No, that's probably, I bet you that's related to the legal stuff that we were talking about, probably.
Only in America. Apple supports World AIDS Day. Apple has done the product red stuff, obviously, and they've turned all the logos red today. And I read a thing today because someone made me do a bit of research in a tweet that they put out saying, well, just how much of what I do actually does go to the research for AIDS and stuff. Apple are closing in on $150 million worth of donations to AIDS research. That's pretty good.
It is. It's fabulous. Nobody can complain about that. It's really good.
Yeah,
and they've been doing this stuff for years. I mean, years and years. Ever since, was it the Red iPod? Was that one with U2? Was that related to this? I forget.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that was the original when they got involved because it was really, I think, Bono, who's it was kind of his cause. And I think he kind of brought it to Apple.
Yeah. Apparently they gave $10 from that iPad Red Nano to global research. And then they reckon that the
$10 of each sale, right?
$10 of each unit.
Yeah.
And the which was the other one, the Touch, they only gave $13 from that because it was a lower profit margin. So I did a couple of threads where I went and looked, and it's the amount that they give isn't based on just a standard dollar percentage. It's given based on the profit margin that they make on the unit. So if they make a higher profit value, like on the covers, they give more than they do if it's an iPhone where they make less profit or an iPad where they make less profit. So there you go. But $150 million is nothing to be sneezed at. So well done, Apple.
That's good.
We have taken the circuitous route. We have gone around the houses as much as we possibly can, but we are at the story of the week. High Sierra security route fix. There is a fix out for it. I hope you've got it. And there is also a fix for the fact that it freed your file transfer system as well. Adam, you're probably the most competent of all of us. Explain to us.
How dare you?
The root hack?
I'm here.
I'm with you on this.
Most competent and most interested of us. Adam, explain to us what the root thing's all about.
All right. So apparently, I don't know. I don't think they've given the underlying details of what's going on. But for people who don't know, you know, the Apple operating system underneath the hood runs BSD, basically Unix. I mean, there's a variant of Unix under there. And Unix is a multi-user operating system, and root is like the top tier. I have access to everything I can do everything account. And so it's generally really, really bad if somebody can get root access to your machine. And back in the old days, you actually, root was actually a thing, but over the years, Apple has more and more closed that down to the point where now, I forget when they started doing this, but basically root accounts are totally disabled by default on your Mac. There's ways to go in and turn them on, but they're completely disabled, and normally you would never need to get into root. The admin account has heightened privileges, but it's still not root level privileges because of what the kinds of access that root can give.
But even then, you would have needed a password, is the point.
Well, so it's disabled by default, and if you ever go in to enable it, then you are required to set a password. But this is where the problem comes in, because by default, because the account is disabled, Apple never sets a password on the root account. So there's a root account, but it's disabled, and there's no password set for it. So that's where this bug came into play. I don't know why or how it got in there, but if you were to go into any place in the operating system in macOS High Sierra, this latest updated version, the problem would be is when you hit that prompt where it would, you know, like, for example, a great place to do this is in the system preferences in the user groups, right? The little lock to gain access to make changes to the users and groups, that normally will pop up a dialogue. It asks you to put in an admin account. You need admin privileges to add users to the system. But you could also type in root as the username in that field, and normally it should not ever let you in, again, because the root account is disabled. What happened was is that you could type in root and leave the password blank and then try to authorize, and it would fail usually the first time, maybe the next few times, but eventually if you kept attempting it, it would let you in. And I think it was something related to how it was logging date times, and somehow the date time for activation of that account would get off through all those multiple attempts, and eventually it would just let you in. And letting you in means it was enabling the root account with no password set on the root account, which is really, really bad. And you could even verify it after you did that. If you rebooted your Mac and you got to the login screen where it would show you the user accounts, you would see a user account called Other. And tapping on that, you could type root with no password at that point forward and get in.
Ian Lewis.
So, and at that point, you basically own the machine. And some people were pointing out, well, you don't, you know, one of the things is you would need physical access to the Mac to actually activate this. That turned out not to be true either, because if you had gone in and turned on any kind of the remote access in the sharing preferences, so if you had network sharing, you know, screen sharing, or God forbid you had enabled like SSH, which is shell remote access, someone could get in potentially that way too over a network. So it was a really, really bad bug. And the temporary fix was to go in and just set a password on the root account, which you could do, but that involved having to enable the root account. And generally, you don't want the root account enabled anyway. So, I mean, end of the story is Apple issued a patch within 24 hours. And I think they even used a mechanism that I don't think they've used before, where they could push out the fix just to everybody without even having to run. I mean, you probably should still run your software update and check, but I think they could push it out without even having to run software update. I mean, it was that critical of a bug.
No, I had to run mine. Ian Lewis, because one of those things that you always get when he says, oh, it does this cool thing, and you go, oh, I'm going to have a go at that. And then by the time you get there, it's like, no, it doesn't do it anymore. But Ian Lewis made a video of the fact. All he did was he put in no password, clicked OK, and it wobbled once, clicked OK, and it straight in.
Yep. Yeah, I did it too. I mean, I immediately, when I read about it, I went and verified it on a MacBook Air I had. I hadn't upgraded my main machine to High Sierra yet. And again, it was only impacting High Sierra. It was only impacting the versions prior to probably the time that you're hearing this podcast. So if you've updated, you know, in the last couple of days, you already have it, the patch and fix, and you probably don't have to worry about it. But if you haven't, make sure you update. And if you're running High Sierra, I mean, it is that critical, because you could be on a, you know, a network, or if you walked away from your machine, you know, and someone got in there, they could enable that, and they could do pretty nasty things.
That's James's dog having a go at his iPad in the background there.
Could you hear that?
Question from Paul Dixon. Could somebody have signed in as a guest and messed with my user settings?
No. Again, if your machine was locked, they would have needed to be able to get into a account on your machine to even start the hack. I don't believe it would be possible from a guest account.
No, it's good news.
Because I think guest accounts are pretty sandboxed in terms of, I think a guest account can't even get into any of the areas where it would prompt you for a password. Although there was a way to do it from the terminal, so potentially, I can't remember if guests can get into the terminal app or not. I would assume they probably could.
I've no idea what Will's doing, but he obviously doesn't want anyone to see it.
So. No, well, do you know what I'm really doing? I've got this.
I'm not sure I do.
Big no. scab on my my arm. I'd have been picking bits off. Since I'm a coat, and I didn't want anybody to see, because then I wanted to examine my arm, see how it's doing. And it looks pretty good, actually.
Oh, right, okay, cool. Well, but make a video podcast about that then. And
yes, I will do, yeah.
Life will be good.
It's the bonuses of the video.
Last story then.
Yes, a scab picking.
A
bonus.
Real reason to become a British Mac subscriber, right there.
Yeah. Original content.
Mark in the chat room saying he's just waiting till my voice become just a growl. It doesn't even work. Last story then. Cyber Monday happened this week, and AirPods and iPads were the best-selling Apple items. Good on them. I'm surprised at the iPad bit, I have to say. But I'm not surprised about AirPods. They're really still doing really well. Are they down to about 2-week delivery now? They're much better than they were. Has anyone noticed?
My Apple stores all have them usually in stock when I walk in.
Yeah.
I mean, there's usually, it's not a lot, but there'll be three or four pairs on the shelf.
Does anyone notice that? I mean, I've got to say, I love my Apple my AirPods. I absolutely adore my AirPods. I wouldn't swap them for the world. But I hate making a phone call using them. Because you just don't get that audio feedback, do you, of the volume of your own voice?
Oh, I use them for phone calls quite frequently. And I don't like it.
I hate it because I just don't get that volume feedback. I find it difficult.
It's taken a year to get to this point where you can just go to an Apple store and pick them up off the shelves. And that's a testament to what a great product they are. As I've mentioned before, I love them. I did that test, by the way.
Or the massive run-to-run. On manufacturing, let's be fair.
Well, yeah, but I think it needs to be right. You know, there's a lot of technology in that little bud. But I did that test, by the way, because you said to me last week, watch a film.
Oh,
about 3 hours, 80% battery. So it's the fact that obviously I'm using them to talk on a podcast means that the mic channel is obviously open, and as I do a lot of talking. Do I? I don't know. Because I do a lot of talking. Obviously, it's ragging the battery when I'm doing the podcast. But yeah, I watched some YouTube videos and kept them going for about 3 hours. And yeah, 80% battery on both of them. So
it would appear. See, now I'm curious, what's the rated battery life for talk time on AirPods?
I think it says four hours. But I think it's saying there's an hour in there's 40 minutes to an hour in each one, plus there's the battery pack as well.
You think they're counting one
at
a time?
They are counting that as well, yeah. So it's each one is roughly an hour of talk time.
That would make sense.
And then obviously there's 2 hours worth in the actual container that you've got, he said, holding up the AirPods. So, yeah. So I'm happy that it's... like, I mean, obviously, they're using more battery than I'd like, because I'm getting about 40 minutes, I think, aren't I, of talk time. But it does say you should probably get more than an hour per bud.
Fair enough.
But I don't know what I bought a new mic, so obviously I jumped on the Black Friday thing, and I bought this Focusrite Scarlett, which is the second generation of mic and sort of breakout box with these jazzy headphones. Do I sound any better?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, so it was worth the money. So it's £169 from Amazon, and I think they were marketed around $210 normally. So as I'm working on a big project soon, which I'll tell you all about very, very soon. And I need a good mic, so this is a good opportunity to get the breakout box and get it pretty nifty. And I got the arm as well for about, the arm was about £10, and the pop shield was about £6. So Amazon really had their money off me this Black Friday. Well, chuffed to bits.
And the thing is, so I found Black Friday quite an interesting thing last week because I found the products cheaper at Argos.
Weird.
So Amazon reduced the price of the TP-Link plugs from $24.99 to $19.99, but I went online and Amazon had got 3 for $2 at $19.99, so I ended up getting 3 plugs for £40. So I saved myself a packet last week by hopping around.
I must say, thanks to the Slack room. If you've not got a Slack room app, guys, anybody listening to this app, you really should jump on and download it, because you guys are really helpful with all that during Black Friday.
They were great. Yeah, the old Slack room really came into its own, didn't it?
It helped me actually. Like I said, I didn't need those TP-Link things, and I was interested in why everybody was jumping on them. But yeah, it certainly made your eyes open, because once you're in that Argos loop, there's quite a bit going around.
Excellent. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. We love them to bits. Please go and check them out if you want to buy anything like domains and that kind of stuff. My voice is really close to going now.
It is.
It's really close to going. I did a voiceover last Sunday for a video for Limitless, the gym company where I've got the offices. And I sent it to them. I said, say yes or no. And they said, yeah, that's great. Your voice sounds brilliant on that. What have you done to process it? I'm like, nothing. And then I said, are you absolutely sure it's fine? They said, yeah, it's fine. I said, okay, great. So I made the video on the Sunday afternoon, sent it to them Sunday night. And Sunday they were like, this is awesome, brilliant, thanks very much. And then yesterday they came back to me and said, could you make a couple of amendments? Could you add this bit into the voiceover? I'm like, nope. Because I'm never going to match that audio. Never. It's a one-off. Check out UK2 because they're brilliant. They've got domain names, VPS, VPN, co-location services, tons of stuff going on. And there's loads and loads of offer codes that you can get for them at britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors. And if you're an existing customer and you just want to sign back in, then britishtechnetwork.com/UK2, and they'll know that we sent you. And you can get some really, really good deals with them. They're absolutely awesome. And as I said last week, Patrick Quirk has said that their tech support is second to none, so please, please, please support them. Also, check out Hoya. We're going to have remeasurement of my face, which will be happening just after Christmas, and hopefully my Uniqa glasses are going to turn up then. But here's the best bit. If you've ever heard of Orgreen glasses, anyone? They're a really good designer brand. They are stunning-looking glasses. And Orgreen have just released a line of designer frames for Uniqa. So they are gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. I'm kind of glad that I didn't get in the first one of Uniqa frames, because since I've seen these ones, I want these. So they're massive. They're really well worth looking at. Uniqa machines hit your local opticians from the first. So again, like we did with the Hoya stuff, walk in and say, have you got Uniqa by Hoya? If they go no, say, that's a shame, and walk out again. And if it's coming, then get your face measured, because it's the best thing ever. And it's the final chance to win yourself a Spider 5. If you have got a Spider 5, then you'll know how great these things are. This is a screen calibrator that you put on, and you buy the basic model for just £88, £89, something like that. And then you get varying increases in the software that comes with it, so that you can analyze what does or doesn't happen to your screen. This time, have you got to answer a crack question? No, you haven't. All you've got to do is send an email to me that says Spider 5 competition and just tell me your name and address. And if you are a listener, when I read it out and the Christmas show, which is 2 weeks' time, the 15th, then you will win a Spider 5, and that's the third one, then we'll send them all out. So there we go. So send me an email just with your name and address saying Spider 5 competition on the title, and then you could win the third one. So there's no questions to answer, even though it would be easy for us to do that. And also on the 15th, if you're not doing anything, you want to come to the studio, we have got the studio open. Everyone will be here that wants to come. Batwench is definitely coming. You two guys might be kicking around on the 15th. I don't know.
I'll be there. Yeah. I'll be there. Absolutely.
He'll be in the studio. James might be there. Might be. Might not be.
Might be.
Wait and see.
Might be.
And we've got a few other people perhaps turning up. We're going to have the Mac show at 4 p.m. as normal. Then we're going to have the big show at 8 p.m. It's a Friday night. And we're going to order the curry from Lime Pickle in Castle Bromwich. And the reason we're ordering it from them is they have been voted the taker away of the year. This year, and there's a whole big pile of stuff going on in some of the events that they've supported. I've been to one of them, and I've got to say the food is very good, very, very good. So we're going to have a takeaway from them that's going to be delivered down here to the studio, loads of beers and wines and that kind of stuff. And then on the Saturday, once I've got rid of my hangover and I feel like I'm legal to drive, I will be heading over to Telford, because there will be the British Mac Meet, won't there, Will?
Yes, it certainly will. Yeah, on the 16th. So we're going to rock the 15th and the 16th, aren't we?
It's going to be an awesome weekend.
Yep, yeah. And I can't wait to meet everybody at yours. And you'll see this sad and lonely character shouting at an iPad in the corner at Aftar. You're worthless, you're worthless. You have no more rights on this earth than a worm. So yeah, I'll definitely be there on the 15th, and you and hopefully you'll be definitely there on the 16th. So that's awesome.
I will.
Good, isn't it?
I will be there, and Ellis will be there as well. He's coming with me.
Oh, great. How good is that?
So there we go. 15th and 16th is the Christmas weekend. It will be I won't be here on the 15th. Santa will be here on the 15th doing the Christmas quiz, but I'll be there on the 16th for definite, so there's no question. So we'll have a great time. It'll be fun. It'll be really good fun. Right. Have you got a cool thing, William?
Oh, yeah, I have. I miss iPhoto, right? It was good. You could do sort of slideshows and all sorts of things and cards, and all of that seems to have gone with photos. I might be talking rubbish, but I can't find any of it. So I wanted to create a photo medley, and I wanted to create it for free. So I went to Collage It 3. That's Collegeit and then space number 3. Collage It 3. And it allows you pretty much to do exactly what you used to do in iPhoto and put some fun stuff together, especially over the sort of the holiday period, the Christmas period. You take all these photos of a Christmas, and you might want to sort of push them into some sort of card or slideshow for your friends and family, sort of after the fact or whatever, even on the day, I suppose. It'd be quite fun. Why did iPhoto get rid of all the fun stuff? It's boring now. Why did they do that?
iPhoto was shit, mate. Everything that Apple's done with photos is shit.
Oh, yeah, but at least you could make
it is.
Christmas cards and stuff out of it.
You can still do that in photos.
No, you can't.
Yeah, you can.
You can't.
Maybe not.
Can you?
If you were nicer to your iPad, maybe you could.
Can you build a slideshow? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't even like it, and even I know you can do
that.
It's
under projects. Slideshow.
Really?
Yes.
Will's going to go and look in projects now and find everything he's ever missed.
Oh.
Oh, William Green. Oh,
it's under the file menu. Create book, create card, create calendar, create slideshow, order prints.
There you go.
I freaking
love you. But you can sod off Adam, can't you?
I freaking love you.
That's what you can do.
I'm not saying it's the best way. This app looks great that you recommended, but it still can be done.
Well, listen, you got an idiot for a president, and I've got Clutch at three.
Spit your mind.
Oh, so you can do it then.
If you want. Okay. But, I mean, this looks great. This looks, I mean, if it's, there's a lot of stuff that's better. I'm not going to say the Apple stuff is the best stuff out there, but it can be done.
Ah. All right.
I think it's a one-to-one.
Well, just
in, like, in a pinch.
Go to.
I mean, here's the reality is no one uses it in photos.
I wanted to use it. Stuff. And that's why when I got this blooming collage at 3. Because I didn't think there was a way of doing it in photos or what it's called these days.
Yeah, it should even still have all your projects that you did in iPhoto should have been migrated over. So you should still have all your old projects.
Oh, just sod off, will you? In the nicest possible way.
He's broken Will Green. He's broken him.
Well, you should be nicer to iPads.
Well, no, I'll tell you what. He's gonna have it tonight. You wait. I'll get
beside
up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'll be at him.
I'm going to be getting bloody emails from the British iPad Protection League now about Will's cruelty to iPads.
Yes. Anyway, there it is.
So that's my pick,
which Adam has made worthless, absolutely worthless. So, you know, don't send complaints to me or to you.
Well, now you know how the iPad feels.
Yeah.
iPads have feelings too.
Yeah. Adam@macast.com. Yeah, that's his name. That's his number.
Adam, what have you got for us?
I'm going to recommend a podcast. If you need help with your Mac for figuring out photos.
It ain't British Mac, is it?
Questions about a feature. Maccast.com. Maccast on iTunes. Actually, I'm going to pick something that's probably been picked in the past, but it's been probably a long time. And I think this thing is brilliant. And we used it. I used it during the show to figure out the iPad Mini 4 thing. And that is Mac Tracker. Mac Tracker for the Mac Tracker for iOS, which is your compendium of every product that Apple has ever produced, be it an accessory or an Apple One or a Mac. It's just awesome. If you ever need information about a particular model, if you want to know what your Mac, your current Mac is and its specs, it like pulls that stuff in for you. You can save off things. You can create groups of Macs. So I have like a little group set up just for the Macs that I own. It'll let you do things like set when your warranty period is up. So you can get an alert or a reminder, hey, your AppleCare is about to go. So maybe if you're having a problem, you can get it in before the AppleCare runs out. But yeah, it just has all of the tech specs. I just found a feature in here that you can turn on now. You can get an estimated current price based on current market value. So if you have an older Mac that maybe you're looking to sell or you're just curious what the value of it is, it'll do that. You can put in notes. It has history of the machine pulled in from Wikipedia. And one really cool feature a lot of people don't know about is if you click on the Mac icon in the Mac version of the app, the little icon that it gives you, because it gives you a picture of each model, it will play the original boot sound for that model.
Cool.
So you can even hear the boot sound of all your old machines until Apple took it out, of course. So don't try it with the new models because they're silent. But if you want to go hear what was the boot chime in a Mac Plus, you can. That and it's just brilliant, and it's free. It is donationware. Please donate to this guy, because he has put in, this has been around for years and for forever. I know a lot of people know about it, but maybe new people to the platform don't, and it's invaluable for what kind of memory goes in this old machine, or I use it all the time, and it's brilliant, and people should support the developer. So
excellent. Good pick, mate.
MacTracker.ca.
Cool. James, what have you got for us?
Well, I'm downloading that straight away. So I know to buy another one of my Macs ever again. Yes, I have got, I spoke a lot about this in the Slack room this week, a Grid Autosport for iOS. It is amazing. It's what an app should be. You pay once. There's no in-app store purchases.
Yeah, there is.
Are you listening to Autosport?
No, there isn't.
There is.
Yes,
okay,
there is
in-app.
There are, but they're free.
There are three, but they're all listed as free, which I thought was really cool. It was a real finger up to the aggro developers who are looking to coin it.
I just think, you know, this is what we need to do, guys, is we need to support this like you never, because it is a great game. 100 cars, 100 circuits, it's buy once, race forever, as it says. And the controls are great. You can obviously do tilt to drive if you like that, or you can press side and side screen. It is just brilliant, and I can't believe when you actually take a screenshot of what you're playing, it's just incredible. It's a console-quality game on your iPhone. Now, it is iPhone 7 and above, so it would obviously put a lot of people's noses out, but to be this good, you'd understand if you see it. So, Grid for Autosport, it's been around on the Mac, as a Mac app for a long time, and now it's on your iPhone, and I'd love to see it on an iPhone 10. I've got an iPhone 7, and it works incredibly well. If you play an iPhone 10, let me know. I'd love to see it.
Oh, I played it on my iPhone 10. It's gorgeous. It eats batteries for lunch, though.
I was going to say, that's the only criticism I've got is you've got to be plugged in to to your iPad charger.
it just chews the battery like you wouldn't believe. And your phone is going to get hot.
but it is the best £10. And very quickly today on the UK apps, UK iTunes store, they're doing a 10 thriller movie collection for £10, and also a 10 comedy movie collection for £10. And of this £10, you get obviously 10 films, and on the UK one, we've also got The Revenant is on there, which is a 4K HDR film. Wolf of Wall Street is on there, which is also 4K. So you're getting quite a lot of good films for just £10, which is incredible. And on the comedy one, you've got some really good titles inside here. One of them being The Grand Budapest Hotel. So £10 for 10 comedy films, £10 for 10 thriller films. I think that's a bargain.
It's good. Very good.
So jump on the iTunes App Store in the UK for that. I don't know if you've got it in America, but well worth taking a look at. That was today. Thank you.
Excellent. Does everyone know what a hangdrum is?
I do, yes. I played one in California.
Oh, yeah. I've played one at a concert, and they're great. So that's what a hang drum looks like. And they used to be made by a firm called Pan Art in Switzerland. You had to fly to Berlin.
Oh, a hang drum.
Yeah. Hang they were called. If they agreed to make you one, which they didn't always, you had to go to Bern and you had to tell them what you wanted one day. They'd make it overnight and then you could take it with you the following day. And you had to stay in Bern and then take your drum and take it with you. And everyone loves them. But they do them now on the iPad. So I had a thing called Hang App, which was great. But I found this one, which is called, I forgot what it's called. It's called Hand Pan, H-A-N-D-P-A-N. And when you play it, it's a great sound.
Oh, my God. Is it by Jacob Cole?
Yeah.
Downloading.
But what's nice about this one is not just that it plays, but I have a trouble kind of remembering where stuff is. I don't know if it's a dyslexia thing or not. But this one has got a little colour button here that you push at the bottom. And when you press the buttons, then it changes the colour.
Wow. That sounds great, you know.
It does. It sounds awesome. It just helps you remember what you've played.
There's a version 2 on the App Store as well for 99p, so is that the free one or?
It's a great thing by it. That's just the free version.
Right.
And there's another one as well called Mandala, M-A-N-D-L-A, and it's a hang drum, but it's slightly different. And it's a bit more authentic as a tune.
Amazing. Love that.
I love playing with those. And that one records as well. That's Mandala Hang Drum, which is great. So give it a go. I've played with those. And they're fantastic on iPad because they're bigger. If you do on the iPad Pro, it's just like, it's not like playing the real thing, but it's close enough. Where can we get a hold of you, Will Green?
BritishMac.com.
Excellent, mate. Yeah. And back in the UK this week?
Yes, I am. Yes. So you can email me, Will@BritishMac.com, or you can Twitter me at, BritishMac.
Excellent, mate. Good to have you back. Blighty will remember you when you get on the concrete, mate. At Stansted, drop down onto your knees and kiss the concrete, mate, because you are back.
Yes, I will do. I promise you. I'll take a photo.
Good man. Where are you, Adam?
I am at maccast.com and maccast on iTunes. And you can also check out the iOS show at theiosshow.com and pretty much maccast on all social media. And I can, as near as I can tell, just to update people, that 10 for 10 is not in the US App Store, unfortunately. Okay. I don't see it, at least. So it's not obvious if it is.
And where are you, James?
Yeah, you just find me at Twitter. It's at James Rickards. That's RICKARDS.
Thanks, mate. Thank you. We'll be back again next week with both shows, Thursday night for the big show and Friday for the Mac show as normal. If we go the week after, the 15th, both shows will be on the Friday. They will be here at the new studios down in Coastal. So all you got to do is get yourself to Coastal Parkway Station. It's a 200-metre walk to the studio, and it is a night of wonderful beer drinking, wine drinking, frivolity, fun, and the best takeout food that you can get in the UK, according to Just Eat Me. So there we go. I don't think it's Just Eat Me. I think it's Just Eat. Just Eat Me's a different site. Just Eat Me's a different site entirely. Yeah. We'll be back again this week. See you then. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh my God. He just managed
was the
that.
Perfect out. Like, the voice died right
it
at
just
the end.
Oh, bless you, mate. Good work for pulling it through.